Now to the story of one Afghan teenager. When threatened with death by her own family, the girl threw herself on the mercy of the U.S. military. Her plight highlights one of the great challenges the U.S. faces in Afghanistan. The agreement President Obama signed there today is a matter of policy, laying out what happens when U.S. combat troops leave in 2014. But the withdrawal raises difficult questions with personal consequences. For one, how can the U.S. protect the rights of Afghan women after its troops are gone? As NPR's Quil Lawrence reports, protecting women's rights hasn't been easy even with a huge American presence. And one note, many details, including the name of the girl in our story, have been withheld for her protection.
Last winter, in a remote part of Afghanistan, a teenage girl we'll call Lena was sentenced to death. Her crime was possession of a cell phone. Her executioners would have been her brothers. They suspected that Lena had used the phone to talk with a boy. She had dishonored the family, her brothers said.
My older brother took the cell phone from me and beat me very badly. It was dinner time. They told me that they would execute me after dinner. They said to me, "This would be my last meal."
So-called honor killing is common in Afghanistan, along with other gruesome punishments for women suspected of contact with men outside the family. It's even considered a dishonor when a woman is the victim of sexual assault. Hundreds of women are in Afghan prisons for such moral crimes as being the victims of rape. It's not clear if her brothers knew it, but Lena says one of her in-laws was regularly abusing her, physically and sexually. Women in remote villages have little recourse, almost no route of escape. Most spend life barely leaving the house. But something made Lena try.
I was terrified to think of running away from home. But suddenly a voice from inside told me to flee before my brothers killed me. I took one of their cloaks and wrapped it around me to look like a man. Then I slipped out of the house and started walking to the foreigner's base nearby.
She approached the gate. The people at the gate noticed that someone was trying to find her. When they realized that she was in danger, they took her in.
U.S. Marine Major Jennifer Larson was to become Lena's almost constant companion for the next several weeks. She says the guards at the gate saw the same car passing again and again. Each time it drew near, Lena looked petrified. They took her to a doctor who discovered fresh bruises on her back and knees from the beating.
They took me to a tent with three American women and an Afghan translator. They treated me very well, and there were no American men there.
Even that small corner of the American base was a new world for Lena after a life of sequester in the village. Things like television and hot running water were new, as was the existence of books, written words, and even written numbers. But Larson says the girl embraced them. She devoured new foods from the cafeteria, especially ice cream and Doritos. She quickly gained a small English vocabulary, including phrases from the PG-rated movies they watched to pass the time. Some showed men and women kissing. Kiss was a favorite new word, says Larson.
She was scared and she was overwhelmed, but she was a strong person, and as she had new things come to her, she adapted quickly. And I found out that she was very bright. She wanted to get away from where she was. That was her main interest. Anytime you asked her a question, it was, "Do I have to go back?" And our answer at that time was no, and we needed to figure out how we could keep that promise.
It was a big promise. Saving a teenage girl was not part of the battle plan for U.S. forces in Afghanistan. It might have even jeopardized that mission. Afghan advisors told Americans at the base very bluntly, to keep peace with the community, Lena had to go home, even if it meant her death. Her original crime now paled in comparison to the fact that Lena had spent weeks living with non-Muslim foreigners, says Huma Safi, a women's rights advocate in Kabul.
In Afghan society, women are staying with their families. When they spend nights at other places, it's a dishonor for the families. It's not only the military base, but in anywhere, they don't want their daughters to spend the nights somewhere else.
An elder from the community stayed on the base with Lena, but he stopped speaking to her once she said she wanted to stay with the foreigners. Her family also tried to convince her to come home, but Lena knew it was a trick, says Major Larson.
I met her sister, and the hard part was as I watched her sister beg her to come home. Even her niece and nephew, who were very young, were there as well. And she did hug them and she was glad to see them. But as soon as her sister even suggested that she come back home, the whole meeting came to a screeching halt. She had no time for her sister and asked her to leave. And it was hard to watch. All the other people that were there in this situation were crying. I couldn't understand everything that was being said, but at that moment, an interpreter was unnecessary because the range of emotion and the body language said more than words could.
Lena also saw her brothers again. They surprised her by showing up at a meeting near the base. Major Larson says she feared the brothers might try to kidnap Lena or even throw acid on her at the meeting. Lena says she knew her family planned to lure her home to kill her.
My brothers pleaded with me to return home. I told them no. They said they would let me marry whoever makes me happy. I asked them, why would I ever believe you?
This is where the story in Afghanistan often ends. The woman is sent home and later killed by her family to cleanse the dishonor. But Lena's tale has a different ending. U.S. and Afghan officials helped fly her to a shelter in a larger city. Lena was not very happy in the shelter, but the same pluck that helped her escape death served her again. When she was brought before a female Afghan judge, Lena asked for help. The judge said she knew a young man looking for a wife. Lena insisted on meeting him first, and after a short discussion, they decided to get married. She's now expecting her first child. Marine Major Jennifer Larson says that news brought tears to her eyes.
It's overwhelming sometimes, and so I don't even know what to say about some of the stuff. There's so many women that have this issue, and it would be nice if there was something we could do that was tangible, but I don't know what that thing is. We did help one. And hopefully she'll be able to help others in the future.
Speaking by phone from her new home, Lena says she wants for nothing. After fleeing her house with only the clothes on her back, she now wears the traditional gold rings and necklaces given to a bride by her husband. She says she'll never forget the Afghans and the Americans who helped her.
I have everything I ever dreamed of. I live with a big family, and they all love me very much.
Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
NPR's Ahmad Shafi contributed to that report.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.